I think that a lot of people do know some Aboriginal people that just don't realise it.
You look at my mum, she's English. You look at my dad, he's Aboriginal. And look at me, I'm a bit in between. I haven't got the flat nose anymore. I sometimes wish I did.
You know, just because I'm Aboriginal doesn't mean I have a flag tattooed to my forehead.
Like, most of them call me Auntie Lynn, and I'm happy to be their auntie, even though that I'm not.
Because I am Aboriginal because of my DNA, not because of my lingo.
Meet the Mob, a podcast from 1233 ABC Newcastle with Jill Emberson. Subscribe at abc.net.au/Newcastle.
Nah, I was one of them boys that I was sport fanatic, so I loved playing football and everything, and yeah, I was just one of them boys that if I seen other boys dance, I'd be like, oh, this girl stuff. But
when did that change?
Year 11, my good friend of mine, he graduated from high school and everything. He started up at Nasta Dance College, and he just said to me, like, I'm a strong traditional dancer. I'd always done traditional since I was a kid, and he just said, like, to widen, like, your view on cultural dance, you should come in and audition for Nasta Dance College. So I gave that a go, and they ended up accepting me into it, and now I do all variety of dance, from ballet to contemporary to traditional.
Were you the kind of guy that would dance when you'd go out on Friday and Saturday night?
No, I actually wasn't at all, ever. I was the guy that sat there and watched my friends do it and laugh at them. But now it's changed. I'll go out and I'll chuck in a little boogie here and there. But yeah, no, it's definitely changed.
You're studying at the National Aboriginal Islander Skills Development Association.
Yeah.
Doing primarily dance on the Central Coast. What's that course like?
It's full on. It's very difficult at times. It takes a hard toll on your body. At the end of the week, you're wrecked and you just want to sit down and enjoy the afternoon with a nice crispy cold beer, to be honest. And nah, but it's a really, really great course.
How long does the course go for?
It's a four-year course, so you start off doing your Cert 2, and then your Certificate 3, Certificate 4, and then Diploma in your final year.
And what kind of subjects do you do?
Obviously, all styles of dance, so ballet, contemporary, hip-hop, jazz, traditional, lyrical. We do traditional Aboriginal and traditional Torres Strait Island dance, and we do some drama. And then we also work on a bit of music as well. So,
what, writing music?
Yeah, we have a guest teacher come in and he shows us how to use all Logic and GarageBand to write and create your own music. And then if you can sing to it, or if you're a rapper and you're into hip-hop and stuff, you can make your own and send things out and hope to even take that further as well.
Are you any good at any of that side of things?
Well, yeah, went back in high school, I topped my class in poetry. So I sort of took on the gift that I'd been given and started writing lyrics and stuff. And in a few of our shows, I've actually done a few songs, and we were on the radio not too long ago doing one of our songs, promoting our mid-year show. And yeah, we got really good feedback from the music that we wrote and everything as well. So yeah, it's good. And yeah, so I'm working on that as well.
So what future do you see with, say, the music side of things?
Well, you can always hope to break into the industry, but no, I really hope that I can take my music a lot further and really become noticed, just like all of them famous people nowadays. So that's what I want to be like as well. So
are there any Aboriginal artists that you kind of aspire to or follow?
Yeah, definitely Last Connection, Local Knowledge and all them, and the Street Warriors, and Brother Black was one of my first Aboriginal inspirations. He was an Aboriginal rapper, hip-hopper, and he definitely really inspired me at a young age. And yeah, and like even people like Jeffrey Gorimal, like Yunupingo and all that, and Saltwater Band and Yothu Yindi, like, they weren't rappers, but they definitely had a big inspiration towards me to try to conquer a job in music and everything. So yeah,
you're naming there people that have really sort of cracked through whatever ceilings there are, they've cracked through them.
Yeah.
They must have worked pretty hard to get there. Do you reckon you've got that in you?
Yeah, I'm a fighter. I don't like to give up on myself, so if I make it, I'll make it. If I don't, I'll keep trying. So, yeah.
You named there all a string of Aboriginal artists, and I guess that's what I asked you, but is that Aboriginal side of you a big part, an essential part of your creativity?
Yeah, definitely. Just with our history and my history and everything, especially being Aboriginal, it has a really big input into creativity. So, like, whether it be songs that I write or choreography that I work on, it all has something to do with my past. And in that, also having that fact that I am Aboriginal and I grew up in a family that was really frowned upon because it was only my twin brother and I were the only two Aboriginal people known in our family. So we used to, family went through a lot, growing up in Tyree, like saying that we weren't, we didn't deserve to have like white parents and stuff. So
can you tell me a bit about that story?
Well, in Tyree especially, it's not a place you want to grow up in.
And why not?
Being Aboriginal, it definitely isn't, because you just get, it's one of them places a lot of black fellas go to. Like, you walk into a shop, you get followed everywhere, and you could be dressed up better than any other white fella in the shop, but you're still looked at as a thief or something like that. So you're constantly followed around the supermarkets. You're always looked at by people in a sort of down way, because there are a lot of Aboriginal people around that do give us a bad name, but all cultures have people that give their culture a bad name. It doesn't mean we're all like it. But just growing up in Tyree, it was difficult at times, because sometimes me and my twin brother didn't feel as if our family understood what we were going through.
So were you and your brother adopted?
No, we have a Aboriginal father, and my mother and him split when we were babies. So then she met another fellow, and he was a white person and had our younger brother. And then they didn't get along, and then now we're blessed with this one father, which is the reason why my last name is Schilling. And now we have two younger brothers and sister. And he's definitely a blessing in our life.
What did he change?
Everything. Our look on life. We changed a lot on his look in life as well, especially being Aboriginal. We opened up a lot more doors to him and showed him what is out there, what is happening, because before that he was oblivious to it.
So he's Aboriginal?
No, he's okay. White himself, yeah.
So, but he was accepting of you. He was accepting of you. So did your mum kind of deny your Aboriginality?
No, she never did. She always made sure that we were black and proud, and so did our grandparents too. Like, especially my nan and pop, they had a big input in my life as well, especially through our upbringing, and they always made sure that we were proud, strong Aboriginal people. And I owe it to them and my mother and my father now that we've grown up the way we are. So, yeah, definitely.
Where is your Aboriginal background from?
It's the Lismore region. So my people are the Bunjalung people from the Widjibal tribe. And my family, my Aboriginal family, are the Roberts from Lismore, Casino, Ballinan, all around New South Wales, really.
And is it easy for you to connect into that family?
Yeah, well, I've only just recently started actually speaking to my grandmother for the first time this year, a few months ago. I just sort of picked up the phone one day and I met this bloke, Reese. And we found out that he's actually my cousin, and he sent me my grandmother's number. And I was in Canberra at a performance there, and when I got home, where I was staying, I just sort of picked up the phone and thought I'd give my nan a call. And it was a really, really frightening but exciting moment in life. So I got to speak to her for the first time. And
what did she say when you said, "Hi, I'm your grandson"?
She said, "I know," straight away, and she knew who I was just by my voice, and she'd never even heard it before. Straight away, it's like I'd known her my whole life. There was no awkwardness. There was just, we just yarned for about 2 hours on end, and she was just telling me about my family. Like, I've met family through Facebook. Thank you for creating it. And yeah, I got to meet up with a lot of my family through Facebook. I haven't actually physically, like, face-to-face met them, but they already, like, love me as a cousin. And I've found out that I've got a really, really big family, so.
And what does that give you that you didn't have before, Kyle?
Well, it gives me, I wouldn't say a sense of belonging, because I've always belonged with the family that I grew up with. Like, they were my number one role models. They were there for me through all the hard times. But I just feel as if there's just that bit of completion in life. So I feel as if now I know my other half of my family, then I just feel as if I'm not going to end anytime soon regretting the fact that I haven't met them or spoken to them. So they've really, yeah, I just feel, you could say, completed.
You started out saying that you weren't somebody that was keen on dancing, and now you can do Aboriginal dances from, like, all over the country.
Yeah.
What is it about Aboriginal dance that you like, having once been a cynic, to even dance?
Well, Aboriginal dance, I've always done that since I was young. So I know Aboriginal dance to me, it just helps, like, continue our culture, whether it's from my area or not. I just feel as if I'm still out there sending stories and messages and really representing my culture in a strong, proud way. So that's what Aboriginal dance does for me. I'm happy to do it every day, which we pretty much do, so.
Do you reckon there's a real future in Aboriginal dance in modern Australia?
If there's not, I'm definitely going to make it, because it's part of Australian history, and it has to stay there, and it will stay there. And that's to all my proud Aboriginal people out there. We're going to keep it here. We're going to take it to our graves. We're going to send it to our children, to their children's children. And it's going to live on, I'm telling you now. It's going to be there for as long as Earth remains.
Do you want people to know the name Kyle Schilling and his contribution to Aboriginal music and dance?
Definitely. I want everyone to know my name. And I don't mean that in a big ego sense of, oh, I'm this person, I've done this, but I want it to be that people will say, oh, I know that name. This fella did this for us, he done this for them, like that kind of name, not he did this for himself.
You've been listening to a 1233 ABC Newcastle podcast. For more, visit our website at abc.net.au/Newcastle.